Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III is my name. The AFA Activate Summit is underway in Tupelo, Mississippi at this very moment. I will be speaking there tomorrow. I will be the last one speaking there tomorrow. I hope those who have been attending, you've been enjoying yourselves. And for those who have not attended, I do believe this will become an annual thing. So you probably want to prepare yourselves. And when the new dates are announced, mark your calendars, because simply put, you're missing out. You're missing out. But at this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income. I said generate an income, to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. As you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on the family, recognizing that the first human institution that God established was the family, with marriage at the center, recognizing that the first command that God gave to mankind was issued within the familial context, understanding that before there was a modern civil government, the New Testament church, frankly, before any of those institutions, orders of priests, prophets, etc., the family was first. We would do well to recognize that and respond accordingly, because simply put, what goes on in your house is far more important than what goes on in the White House. And there's some things that are transpiring. We're going to get to this later on this weekend. I'm going to encourage you to be prayerful, to pray today, pray this evening, and to be prayerful throughout the weekend, because there's some things that are on the horizon. There's some things that are on the horizon that we need to be aware of, all right? That's something that we need to be aware of. As you, again, are making your transitions, man, recognize the opportunity, can I say that word? Take my time. Opportunity you have to serve the Lord starting right in your own homes. You have the privilege and the opportunity, just as I do, to execute the King's Commission, starting right at your home. That's what happens when you stay up too late the night before. You know what I'm saying? You got to go to bed on time. Sometimes there are demands, and you just, boy, get me through, Lord. Well, we are going to turn to the Word of God, as is our custom when we begin the program. And I should mention, producer extraordinaire, the real Jay Mack, is in studio aiding us in bringing this program to you right now. Things are swirling, and they are intense all around the world, man, all around the world, and including in our own nation. You saw we're going to talk about this a little bit more in the next segment, but the thing that began in Los Angeles, really as a result of an effort to obstruct federal law enforcement officers who were simply doing their jobs, having secured search and arrest warrants for illegal aliens who had been accused of heinous and violent criminal offenses. And, well, news of the initiative to execute the warrants in those cases leaked, and it led to, they would want to call it a protest. I would simply call it socialist agitation. And I'll explain to you why I'm doing that in the next segment. To protect criminals, man. that's the thing that blows my mind. And you have all of this agitation that began with people saying, nope, we want to keep criminals from being arrested by federal law enforcement officers, by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. We want to stop that from happening. And all of this spiraled from there. And now you have reports that there are plans to export this organic protest movement. Yeah, right. It's organic as that fake meat is real. Beyond burger. This is beyond protest is what this is. It's not protest, man. This is social agitation. But we're going to get to that, all of that in a moment. But before we do, let us turn our hearts and attention to the word of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 is where we're going to go today. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 32 and 33, a very familiar passage of scripture. But God, in his divine providence, records this for our benefit at an extremely hot time in Israel's history. This passage is recorded, and this passage comes to us from that context. What's happening is that there is a division in Israel, where there are portions of Israel who are loyal to Saul and the house of Saul. And then there are portions of Israel, particularly the tribe of Judah, that is loyal to David. And so there is a point of tension in Israel's history where the issue before the nation is who is the Lord's anointed to be king? Who will be king? 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32 says this, of Issachar, men who had understanding, men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. 200 chiefs and all their kinsmen under their command. Of Zebulun, this is verse 33, of Zebulun, 50,000 seasoned troops equipped for battle with all the weapons of war to help David with singleness of purpose, or some translations say who were not of double heart. All right, we'll read those two together again. Of Issachar, men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. 200 chiefs and all their kinsmen under their command. Of Zebulun, 50,000 seasoned troops equipped for battle with all the weapons of war to help David with singleness of purpose. I've explained before, when you study the Hebrew scripture, you will often see the tribes of Issachar and Zebulun linked together. All right? The tribe of Issachar is regarded as a scholarly tribe, a tribe that was dedicated to Torah study. The tribe of Zebulun was dedicated to economics, all right? This is so profound because the later development in Israel's history, the Levitical scholars and the priests were often described as Zebuluns, indicating that it was the provision and covering of the tribe of Zebulun which gave room for Issachar to study the Torah. It is that Zebulun secured the economic foundation to allow the proliferation and the prospering of Torah study. They were working together. And here they're linked again, of Issachar and Zebulun. The thing that is noteworthy is that the tribe of Zebulun, well, not the thing, a thing among several things that are noteworthy, is that the tribe of Zebulun weren't only given over time to economics. They also was at this juncture had warriors in their tribe. The tribe of Issachar did as well. But the tribe of Issachar is highlighted here as leading in discernment in this moment. That the tribe of Issachar understood the times and knew what all of Israel needed to do in that moment. They were aided and bolstered and allied by the tribe of Zebulun, who had singleness of purpose, who had unified with their finances, but also, as the scripture tells us, their weapons of war, equipped for battle with all of their weapons, with singleness of purpose. The main thing that I want us to derive from this in this moment is that God calls his people to discern the times that we are in. Guys, we should not simply be casualties of whatever the legacy lying media wants to say, that our emotions ebb and flow based on the propagandist offerings, but that we need to have discernment that is superintended by the Spirit of God anchored and guided by his holy word to understand where we are. I said earlier this week that the First Amendment to the United States Constitution protects the rights of Americans to peaceably assemble. The fundamental undergirding notion that every American should understand and should embrace is that any notions of protest will only be abided if they're peaceable. The very moment that the gathering of people moves over into the propulsion of violence, violence is acted and directed towards people, and violence that is acted and directed toward property that does not belong to the actor are exhibitions of the departure from the realm of protest into the realm of criminality. Every American should understand that we do not support criminality. Every American should also understand we support the right to peaceable assembly. Because of that fundamental delineation, we should have, in addition to what our Constitution says and beyond what our Constitution says, the biblical clarity. And the clarity that is produced by the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us into all truth to recognize that, oh, this is not an organic response to a perception of injustice. In fact, this whole phenomenon began, I'm talking about Los Angeles right now, this whole phenomenon began with protecting alleged violent criminals from criminal accountability. That's how all of this started. This is not like counter sit-ins. It's not. This is not a Montgomery bus boycott. That's not what this is, folks. This is similar to the burn, loot, murder anarchy. Had nothing to do with what more melanated people were experiencing in the hood. Nothing to do with that. Had everything to do with advancing a Marxist agenda. Occupy Wall Street had nothing to do with fiscal sanity and people wanting to utilize their freedom and opportunity to make way for themselves. No. It had everything to do with providing a Marxist catalyst. Same thing with, like, you know, the group La Raza, which means the race. What we're witnessing, folks, is Marxist agitation. And so the scripture would require of Christ followers to understand the times that we're in and develop the wherewithal to know how we are to respond. Of Issachar, men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. That indicated there were some who did not understand what should have been done. As I mentioned, there were some who were riding with Saul. Simply put, they were wrong. And in their riding with Saul, they were opposing what God desired for the nation of Israel. That's the thing I want you to see. When we have a lack of discernment concerning the times, we could very well be opposing the very thing that God is seeking to help us to understand. I believe one of the major things that God wants us to understand in this moment is that a vacuum is created when you have a people who have in God we trust in our money, who have the free exercise of religion enshrined in our Constitution, where you have taxpayer-funded chaplaincies in our government, in Congress, the House of Representatives, in our military, yet we have a nation that in our practice, in our mindsets, in our preferences, we have become largely a godless nation. I believe one of the things that God is trying to show us is that when that vacuum is created, when the people abandon her God, darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies space that is vacated by the light. It should cause us to question, why are wicked people so ready and willing and organized in order to try to move our nation away from our founding and to fundamentally transform us into an Americanized vision of Marxism? I believe that is what God is trying to get our attention with. But if we don't discern the times and we don't know how we ought to respond, we could very well find ourselves caught up in the zeitgeist of the moment.
The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
I want to start this segment by simply saying, guys, this weekend has the indications of things transpiring, and I simply want to ask you to pray and be prayerful throughout this weekend. The first thing I want to discuss is President Trump has announced that there will be a massive parade celebrating our military in Washington, D.C. this Saturday. And the massive parade, will punctuate a day of celebration in our nation's capital to celebrate the 250th anniversary of, sorry, the 250th birthday, not anniversary, birthday of the United States Army. The 250th birthday of the United States Army. The parade is set to bring nearly 7,000 soldiers to our nation's capital. It will have an all-day ordeal that will begin with a wreath being laid at the Tomb of the Unknown. And it will be followed by a fitness competition and a parade complete with tanks, infantry vehicles, helicopter flyovers, parachute jumps, rocket launchers. It is going to be a celebration of the United States military. Listen to and watch clip number one. Clip one, go.
As authorities begin securing President Trump's massive military parade set for Saturday, which coincides with the president's birthday.
The entire area around the White House has been completely transformed. From above, we can see the nearly 20 miles of fencing leading right up to where President Trump will be on Saturday. Authorities tell me this will be the safest place in the world.
We saw dozens of tanks lined up near the National Mall and this very close flyby the Washington Monument. Authorities then taking us behind the scenes on the ground.
Well, they were expecting hundreds of thousands of people on the mall. You will see us stands here full of our dignitaries and VIPs to include the president.
That's where the president will be.
Yep, right up there.
The parade will feature nearly 7,000 soldiers, 28 tanks, as well as dozens of armored fighting vehicles. And just added, mounted rocket launchers and precision-guided missiles. The military display, the White House says, is to mark the Army's 250th birthday.
So that is scheduled to take place this Saturday. It also happens to coincide with President Trump's 79th birthday. All right, that is a day, and if you know you've been paying attention, President Trump's election has coincided with a massive and record number, frankly, record surge in enlistments in the United States military in all of the branches of our military following down years in that regard. And you can imagine, you know, with the regressive Mr. Robinette administration trying to turn the U.S. military into a lab for social engineering, all things, you know, regressive, the whole, you know, transing of the military and all of that craziness that was going on. But of course, as I've been explaining, the social adjutants, Marxist adjutants in our nation, could not abide a day where our military is celebrated, that the type of display. And one of the things that President Trump is good at, that you know that he is, that he can put on a show. He can put on a show. And one of the things that I anticipate that would come from this is that you'll have lots of younger Americans who will see that and say, you know what, I want to serve my country in a similar fashion. But regressives, of course, cannot abide such things. And so you have, while this massive celebration is scheduled in Washington, D.C. to celebrate the United States military, and in particular, the 250th birthday of the United States Army, you also have the usual suspects of regressives. People like MoveOn.org, the Human Rights Campaign, you know, Working Families Power, Public Citizens, Indivisible, you know, the who's who of regressive Marxist socialist agitation. That's what they do. They have planned what they are calling, quote unquote, No King's Day. These are, you know, protests. I'll just tell you, I call them faux tests. F-A-U-X test. Faux tests all around the country. And they're saying No King's Day is promulgated because President Trump, this is so funny, President Trump is presenting himself as if he's a monarch. He's ascribing power to himself like a monarch. And it's just so funny because I'm like, I don't remember King George ever being, you know, tried. I don't remember King George being impeached twice. I don't remember that. This is so funny, man. They know he is one term. I ain't never seen a monarch recognize, you know, this is my last term in office. Now I remember that. It's sad, man. So I want you to see the picture appropriately. So you have this cascading escalation from Los Angeles that began with protecting criminals from law enforcement officers. Then that coincides with this, you know, No King's Day faux tests that, according to planners, that they're going to take place in over 1,800 communities across the country. Now, all of this is supposed to happen Saturday, guys. All of this is supposed to happen Saturday. And this is an effort for these regressives, because this is what they're saying. And then we want the American flag front and center in all of our faux tests, because for too long, the Republican Party has tried to corner the market on patriotism. Let me just ask you the question, right? If you have people who the core of their political brand has been, we hate America, no flags here, you know, you can fly every flag but the American flag. We're going to make the American flag equivalent with the trans insanity, LGBTIQ, element of P plus flag. Make all of them the same. And yet you're wondering why people don't really believe you love America. I mean, it's just insane. But what I want you to see, that at a moment where President Trump is trying to lead our nation in the celebration of our military, which can only be described as a day that will be, you know, passionately patriotic, regressives are not satisfied with that. Oh, no. See, we have to step on that celebration. And it is the thing that makes me laugh. They said, well, this was not an intentional plan by us. We didn't intend to have our faux test to go on to contravene what President Trump is doing. He's trying to make this day about himself. And we want to make this day about the nation. I'm like, celebrating the military? Guys, it's just laughable. It's laughable. It's just laughable. So this is planned, I want to say, I think, yes. Yeah, right. Yeah, President Trump's birthday coincides with the celebration. So this whole No King's Day faux test is just coincidence that they're doing this on the same day. Do you believe that? Do you believe that it's coincidental that all of these groups just so happen to plan their faux tests on the same day? I'll just tell you plainly, I don't. Then on top of that, you have, and this is a part of the reason why I'm inviting you to pray. Because Wednesday, The United States scaled back the number of personnel we have in various governmental roles in the Middle East. And now we know why. Israel has launched a series of precision strikes on Iran. Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu has issued a statement saying that their objective in Operation Rising Lion is what it's called. Their objective is to thwart Iran's ability to build a nuclear weapon. The reports indicate that the top leadership of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard has been eliminated, including General Salami. That's his real name. I'm not making that up. General Salami, who became the leader after the U.S. eliminated the previous general, Soleimani. You also have the leadership of the Iranian conventional army has been eliminated. Top nuclear scientists, according to reports, at least six of them have been eliminated. And in addition to that, Israel using 200 some odd fighter jets took aim at the Natanz nuclear facility. That's one of the major facilities that was making weapons-grade uranium in Iran. But beyond that, we know about the Mossad-led beeper attack against Hezbollah that led to many of the Hezbollah terrorists, which is an Iranian proxy terrorist group in Lebanon, to suffer various fates because of the exploding pagers. In a demonstration of, frankly, espionage superiority, Mossad was able to infiltrate Iran proper, even into Tehran on the ground, being able to bring vehicles into Iran armed with explosives. They also, and this was a key military strategic focal point for Israel, they were also able to significantly damage and diminish Iran's ballistic missile capabilities. This is important because if you remember the previous attack back in months back when Iran responded, they launched so many ballistic missiles that some of them got through Israel's Iron Dome. And so it was a priority for the IDF and with Mossad aid. I mean, guys, there's video, and we will likely have some of this for you next week. There's video of Mossad activity within Iran proper, even into Tehran. I mean, there are images where you have windows of top Iranian officials' homes that had precise strikes. I mean, this is the stuff of movies, man. We've seen things like this in movies, and Israel has the capability to do it for real. This is what has transpired in the early mornings, about 3 a.m. Israel local time. It began in the evening, our time, last night. But it is certainly a military success. And Prime Minister Netanyahu says this is the first of numerous attacks. There's another major nuclear facility. I believe it's called the Fordo facility, which is several hundred feet below the ground. So this has not entirely eliminated Iran's nuclear capacity, but it has severely damaged it. And the strikes continued thereafter, after the immediate strike last night, our time, early this morning, Israel time. There have been additional strikes, and the objective is to eliminate Iran's capacity to have a nuclear weapon. Now, one of the things that a lot of people forget about is that the Persian people on the ground, many of them despise the Islamist leadership in Iran. And in addition to the Revolutionary Guard leadership, the Iranian regular army leadership, Israel seems to be taking out the very principles of the 1979 Islamic Revolution in the nation. You know, when you had the the Islamists to storm our embassy in Tehran and had the whole Contra crisis until President Reagan was sworn into office. Israel seems to be endeavoring to roll to eliminate people who perpetrated that revolution. And I think that is that is being done primarily to curry favor with the Iranian people, the Persian people on the ground, who really don't favor the Ayatollah Islamist leadership. Now, one of the things people need to remember, man, is that the Ayatollah Khomeini, the Islamist leadership in Iran, they are 12ers. They adhere to a particular sect of Islamic theology that drives their function as number one state sponsor of terror in the world. They believe in the 12th Imam. They believe that they have a religious obligation to bathe the world in blood in an effort to hasten the return of their messianic figure, the 12th Imam. This is the ideology that leads to chants of death to America, death to Israel. This is the ideology that causes Iran to use military training and to use their funding to prop up the Houthis and to prop up Hezbollah, to prop up Hamas. One thing that is noteworthy that I would have anticipated, an immediate declaration of war on Israel by Iran. We didn't see that. We didn't see an immediate declaration of war. And I think it's indicative of the decimation of their capacity to respond. The leadership of the IRGC is gone. Some of the leaders in the regular army are gone. It is Iran via Hamas that did October 7th, guys. And this is why I'm saying we need to pray. These are things happening on the global stage. Remember what's happening domestically with the 250th celebration of the U.S. Army's birthday. Flag Day in our nation is tomorrow. The parade in D.C. with the festivities tomorrow, as well as the so-called No King's Day protest and, you know, the cascading of the L.A. illegal alien support faux tests, I should say. This is a very sobering time. And I know this is a Friday. You know, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer on a Friday, but guys, this is where we are. And as the people of God, we must be sober-minded and vigilant in this hour. Prayer is the order of the moment. And as a reminder, Sunday is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, fathers.
One Million Moms has received complaints about an Arm & Hammer laundry commercial where Meghan Trainor deliberately insinuates profanity. Instead of a wholesome commercial, Arm & Hammer deliberately chose to produce something controversial. 1 million Moms finds this highly inappropriate. Arm & Hammer should have the corporate responsibility not to offend families. Arm & Hammer needs to know that parents disapprove. Take action at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Something I think folks don't recognize often is that nations that we know now as communist nations, frankly, and socialist nations, they haven't always been that way. They haven't always been that way. You know, prior to the formation of the USSR, the United Soviet Socialist Republic, isn't that cute? Russia was a monarchical nation. A monarch had a monarchical government. And it wasn't until the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917 that led to Russia becoming communist. The social agitation of that time included the three-word mantra, considered similar to burn, loot, murder. You know, it had to do with, like, food and air and water, similar to the same thing was used in Cuba in the Cuban Revolution. You know, it was air, food, and water. Things, the three-word mantras that are undeniable in the phrasing, but they conceal the nefarious reality that was at bay. It was social agitation that ultimately stirred up the people to move toward violence. I've explained before that Moses Mordecai Marx Levy, that's Karl Marx's real name, he is not the author of socialistic thought. He's simply the protagonist, if you will, of the utilization of violence as a mechanism to impose socialism en route to establishing full-on communism. That is what Marx postulated in his works, in his writings. You have the same phenomenon. China was not always communist. It wasn't, guys. Communists became fully communist following the Cultural Revolution of China under Mao Zedong in the 1950s. 1949 is when Mao announced, you know, again, they use these words, the People's Republic of China, kind of like the United Soviet Socialist Republic. Just because you use the words don't make your governing system what you're saying that it is. You know, and it was social agitation spreading in China that led to the establishment of communist China. Same thing in Cuba. You know, Cuba has not always been communist. Cuba didn't turn communist until the late 1950s into the 1960s. The exact same phenomenon. Social agitation. You know, Fidel Castro, you know, and the butcher, Che Guevara, it waxes such ignorance. We have people running around in America wearing Che Guevara shirts. Dude was a rapist and a murderer. His nickname was the Butcher. And the other thing is that Che Guevara wasn't even Cuban. He's from Argentina. Yes, Che Guevara is an Argentinian Marxist. And what I'm highlighting all of this for you because the very things that those nations succumbed to looked just like this at the beginning. And when I say look like this, it looked like what is happening in Los Angeles. So when I'm talking about discerning the times, guys, we have to recognize, man, pallets of concrete blocks don't just show up. Don't just show up. Remember years ago, you had pallets of bricks that were dropped off in certain portions of Atlanta because they were expecting things to go down there. Guys, see, this is organized, bought and paid for by regressives. This is not an organic protest movement. This is Marxist-inspired, Marxist-guided socialist agitation. That's what this is, guys. And one of the major reasons why you know this is the case, if you talk to people, even regular Democrats, they would tell you, yeah, the illegal alien situation is out of control. You go to any of the major metropolitan areas, you talk to people in the hood, you talk to people in the cities, Democrats recognize that illegal immigration is a huge problem. That's why you had President Trump competing in certain places in New York. That's why you had New Jersey as competitive as it was. People know people in Chicago. They know, man. So then who is in up in arms so much so they want to burn stuff down, they want to attack police officers, doing all of this, all to protect illegal aliens? Stop it. Guys, this is Marxist agitation. That's what this is. And in Venezuela, they elected Hugo Chavez, but the groundswell for his election started with stuff just like this. We have to discern it for what it is. Is it really that many people in the country that are willing to jeopardize their own lives and their own liberty in terms of being arrested and things of that nature to protect the illegal aliens? Think about this, guys. Think about this. Part of the reason why I know this is I practiced law in Houston, Texas when I first passed the bar exam. I know how reluctant illegal aliens are to quote-unquote tangle with law enforcement, especially in an environment where they know the president campaigned and was elected on deporting illegal aliens. They would have these things, la migra, la migra, la migra, la migra, saying the immigration people are coming. Guys, that's not who is in these streets. It's regressive politicians' children and college students and paid protesters. They're paid Marxist agitators, man. That's what they are. And the reason why they're being paid is because the people that are paying them are invested in seeing Barack Obama's fundamental transformation come to fruition. And I also want to be clear about something else. There are various iterations of, you know, socialistic thought and ideology that have already been embraced in our country. And one of the most egregious forms of it is the property tax. You know, imagine you are a more seasoned American citizen. You've worked, you've lived, you've retired from your job, you've paid off your house, you had a mortgage, you paid off your mortgage completely, but you still pay the government property tax, albeit local and state governments in most instances. If you own your home and your land and you own your property, why do you have to pay taxes on it continually? You buy a widget. You pay sales tax for the widget. Once you purchase the widget and pay sales tax, you don't pay a continual tax to the government for owning your widget. Yet you buy your home, you work, you sacrifice, you labor, you pay off your, say if you use a loan, you buy your home, you work, you save, you labor, you pay off your loan for your mortgage, but you still owe property taxes. What if you never had a mortgage? You were able to be disciplined enough to buy your home cash, but you still pay property taxes for the rest of your life? I know there are some states that you don't have to pay property taxes after a certain age, but if you own the property, why do you have to pay to keep your own property? And by the way, if you don't pay the tax, the property tax, somebody else can take your property. How is it your property then if you still have this perpetual payment you have to make on it? That's not the mortgage and it's not the sales price, but it's some other payment. It's the tax. And if you don't pay this tax, the government will take your property. You don't know what? No, you want to know where that idea comes from? The Communist Manifesto. Moses Mordecai, Marx Levy, Frederick Engels, they devised a system called a rents in common. You see, one of the major features of communism is there's no such thing as private property. You see, all of the property is government owned, and through the government, it's viewed vicariously as belonging to all the people. All right, it's called a system of rents in common. And in the system of rents in common, the government is viewed as the owner of the property, and you pay rent to the government for the privilege of using their property. Guys, we have that exact same system operating here. We just don't call it rent in common. And we allow the fiction to exist and say, oh, yeah. This is your property. You own the property. You have the deed to your property. Yep. But in order for you to keep your property, you have to continue to pay us. And then let's go further. What is the valuation standard for property taxes? Who sets that standard? The same government. So we'll tell you how much we believe your property is worth. Yeah, we might take a suggestion from you considering the sale price and prices of property around there and the size of your property. But we'll tell you how much your property is worth. And so we'll tell you how much you owe us. Guys, this is one of the most unconstitutional, anti-American concepts that we just kind of accept as normal. Have you ever had the experience where you purchase land and the land you purchase, you hadn't put anything on it yet, but your property taxes is this, you know? Let's say it's acreage. You bought a couple acres, right? Your property tax is minimal. It's just undeveloped acreage. Oh, but if you put a structure on it, oh, well, now we have to have a higher valuation. Wait, you put a home? Oh, guys, that is an unconscionable. More importantly, have you ever thought about where the idea came from? How did this idea become popularized and normalized to where you have so many people who just don't even question it? It's an indication of how influenced we already are in a socialistic way. You know, even the whole notion of social security. What's the first word again, Jeff? It's security, but it's security. How is social security? Let's take a few steps back. You think the founding fathers paid property taxes? You know, you think Thomas Jefferson, after the Revolutionary War and after the Constitution was adopted, you think Thomas Jefferson paid property taxes to the state of Virginia for Monticello? How about George Washington's Mount Vernon? When did that become so normalized? If you do your research, you'll find that the concept of property taxes kind of ebbed and flowed and developed right along with the progressive era in America. I just want us to have eyes wide open, because what these adjutants are seeking to do is to fulfill Antonio Gramsci's theorem of severing the root of a society that's anchored in a biblical worldview, because that type of society would never willingly embrace Marxism. So you have to sever it at the root. And it's applying the methodology of Saul Alinsky, that people in times of chaos and upheaval will willingly cede freedom in exchange for security. Didn't I just pivot away from, what's that called? Is something security? Social security. What precipitated the establishment of Social Security? Think about it. Yes, the Great Depression. See, people, I think some of y'all, the light is coming on right now. People, according to Alinsky, will willingly exchange freedom, liberty, for security. They'll give away a little bit of their freedoms as long as they can be protected. But why should I have a right to demand my neighbor to secure my financial future? I have a right to Jeff and Jeff's children and Jeff's parents and all of Jeff's friends that they need to contribute to make sure I'm secure in my financial future. But didn't our founding principles say that I have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? The liberty to pursue happiness also includes the liberty to fail to enjoy that happiness. Isn't it amazing some of the most enduring leaps forward in American history came from a pioneering spirit, that willingness to go where others aren't willing to go, the willingness to take that risk on, the willingness to try what hasn't been tried before, and then reaping the rewards? But then we yawn our way into a lethargic, risk-avoidant, lazy and entitled society, and was shocked that, and at the same time, we've really moved away from being a producing nation to being a consuming nation. Guys, all of these things are connected, man, is what I'm telling you. All of these things are connected. The Social Security phenomenon is a scam, and it's been a scam from the beginning. Right now, you literally have, and I'm not trying to throw shade on anybody, because I have elders in my family and others, but they're depending on my generation currently paying into it because it's a Ponzi scheme. If Bernie Madoff does it, he goes to prison. But if the government puts its name on it, then it's it's entitlement spending. It's mandatory spending, I'm sorry. It's mandatory spending. Guys, I'm just saying it's a ruse. And so this agitation from LA that is seeking to expand is an effort to move our nation further along the trajectory of these other nations I mentioned. The USSR, Communist China, Cuba, so on, Venezuela, so on and so forth. That is exactly what it is. We need to be discerning about that and recognize, wait a minute, we're not going that way. You guys ain't slick. This is socialist agitation. This is criminality. This is not legitimate First Amendment protest, because the moment you move into the realm of violence, you've exited the realm of protest.